This is Radio Free Long Island, WUSV, Stony Brook.
The Ministry of Truth.
Well, a very good evening to one and all on this second day of August in 1984. And this is the Ministry of Truth. I am Eric Corley, and I will be with you for the next hour talking about all kinds of things. You can give us a call at 246-7901 and talk about anything you want. Now then, does this microphone work over here? I'd like to get...
I think it's broken.
Is it broken? Try it now.
Hello?
No, that's not it. I guess it works with this one, doesn't it?
Yep.
So we can't have both at once. Oh, well. Engineering feat that we might not be able to accomplish. Anyway, give us a call, 246-7901. We'll be talking about all kinds of interesting things tonight, including local things, worldwide things, national things, all kinds of things. Is that working now? Test it out. On three? Go ahead. Rose, would you say something?
Hi, Eric. How are you?
No, it's not working. Oh, throw this down. Now say that.
All right.
Oh, it works. How about that?
You wild thing, you, Eric.
Thank you. Frank, come here.
Yeah.
Come here. Now, I happen to know from a couple of unreliable sources that you were wandering around on Belterre Cliffs last night watching lightning storms. Is that correct?
Well, I wasn't wandering. You know, it was
You were wandering, admit it.
Well, now that I found this out, tell us about it. Was it interesting?
Weren't you there?
I'm asking the questions.
You don't want to admit it.
I'm asking the questions. Just answer them to the best of your ability. Now, do you do these kind of things often? Go wandering around in wild areas, watching the the wilds of nature?
Well, except when we got there, the lightning went away.
The lightning went away, huh? It was weird lightning. We had a very strange storm last night around here. We had lightning, spectacular lightning, but no thunder. If anyone understands how that works, please let us know, because we're very puzzled. The lightning seemed to be very close by.
I think it was very far away.
But you could see it actually striking things, going bolts of lightning. It wasn't just a flash. It was very...
The wind was probably blowing the wrong way.
Yeah, so we didn't hear a thing.
Nope.
Not even a distant rumble.
Nope.
That's weird. I think they call it heat lightning. But what does heat lightning mean? Does anyone know? You don't know? No one knows? Got 17 people in this room, nobody knows. Oh, boy. Well, that's interesting. I hope you have, lots of fun doing that kind of thing in the future. But were there other people there?
Yeah, I believe you were there.
Well, I don't remember quite as much, but I mean, were there other people?
Oh, a couple of other people.
Yeah, so it's a fun thing to do, go out and just... go to wild, desolate places. It beats, hanging out in bars and shopping centers, don't you think? It's, you can't really do things there, fun things. Play pinball, that's about the funnest thing you can do. Well, thanks for enlightening us.
Well, you're welcome.
You may go now.
I have your permission.
And on your way out, would you kick off the person who's on the phone, who's blocking all our calls? Thank you.
Kick?
Yeah.
Kick.
Oh, definitely. Physically,
okay.
I'd like to see that. 246-7901. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Frank got his car fixed today, so he's kind of depressed. That's the only thing I have to say. There are some interesting articles floating about, and I'm going to get to those in a second. First, I want to tell you what the weather is like. You haven't read the weather recently, have you, Rose?
About 15 minutes ago.
Oh, that's not too recent. Well, we're expecting some thunderstorms. Yes, and more thunderstorms. During the evening hours, which is right about now, you might even be getting one as I'm talking. The lows will be 65 to 70, and tomorrow through Saturday, hazy, hot, and humid, but with a chance of a passing thunderstorm late each afternoon or early evening. High temperatures 85 to 90, and overnight lows in the low 70s. This was one of those days where you just had to suffer through it and do nothing. And if you feel like, you know, you're not accomplishing anything by not doing anything, don't worry, you're not alone, because nobody's doing anything in this weather, not unless they're crazy or unless they're in an air-conditioned, apartment or office or something. Hi, Will. You're waving at me. 10. 10? 01.
That's it.
The phone is for me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, boy. We have a call screener I didn't even know about. 01, 246-7901. That's how we refer to things around here. We abbreviate. We say 01 instead of 246-7901, area code 516, which you can call us at right now. If I can figure out how to work this machine, USB, you're on the air.
Hey, Eric, what's happening?
Hi there. You sound familiar.
Oh, don't reveal my identity.
Okay, I won't.
So, Eric, what are you talking about tonight?
Well, I haven't really gotten into subjects yet. I was about to talk about the Olympics, actually. But we've been talking about thunderstorms, as we usually do this time of night. But you're free to talk about whatever you want.
I want to know, did you get one of those penthouses?
I saw a penthouse. Someone sort of threw it at me and said, hey, this is history, look at it. So I did, I just said, okay, Miss America, all that kind of stuff. It's amazing what people are making a fuss over. It's really something else. I assume you want my opinion on this whole escapade. Is that what you're asking?
I guess so.
Because I don't want to give it if you don't want it. it seems like the whole thing is kind of comparable to just, a work of art. I mean, maybe people don't believe it's a work of art, but in perhaps a shallow sort of a way, that's what it is. I mean, and even if it wasn't, I don't see what the big deal is. For one thing, this did not happen while the person was Miss America. It happened several years ago. And, I don't think all of the Miss Americas that are around that have ever been crowned have been these good little girls that, are perfect all over. So I think we're getting kind of, hypocritical. But then again, we're always hypocritical.
I'd like to, if I may, draw a kind of comparison between, the Miss America pageant itself and Penthouse Magazine. I think what the Miss America pageant does in many ways is quite similar to what Bob Guccione did.
You mean exploit young girls?
Yes.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point, because in a sense, there are different things that they're doing, but it's only open to one sex, and they have to do specific things that happen to be in fashion, so to say. So yes, you do have a point there.
Okay.
Very good point.
I'd like to thank you, Eric.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. 246-7901 is our phone number. Give us a call about whatever you want. USB, you're on the air.
Hello, USB. Is Marion Devine around?
No, she's not. Is she?
No.
I don't believe so.
She left for the day.
Yeah, why don't you call back when she's around?
Why don't I call back when she's around?
Yeah.
Who am I talking to?
All of Long Island, but that doesn't matter. You want to take care of this guy in the other room? Thank you. 246-7901. That's our telephone number here at the radio station. The official line's ringing, too, if anyone's interested. We can't answer that on the air. It's 9 minutes after 6 o'clock, and, yeah, Miss America. I forgot about that. When did that happen? That's 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's amazing how many things happen. I like to talk about all this stuff, but it's just, so much happens, and then the legislators come in here, and I miss a week, and I forget about everything that I've talked about. Although they had an interesting show last week, talking about Lilco and Shoreham and
I
all
think
that
you should
kind of
talk
stuff.
About what you're wearing today, Eric.
What am I wearing? Nothing unusual.
No, well, it's like summery. It's seasonable. It's timely.
Okay, so what's so unusual? Why should I talk? Everyone's wearing something summerish, right? Even you.
No, I was thinking about
the Radio Free Long Island T-shirt.
Your T-shirt in particular.
Oh, it's a yellow T-shirt.
But what's on it?
Monster. A strange-looking little monster, but, you know, lots of people wear weird things.
And you don't think that's odd or peculiar in the least little bit, that you have a monster on your T-shirt?
No. Not really.
It's kind of cute, green and pink, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's very affectionate. I got some good stares in the supermarket today. This one elderly lady really liked it. She wanted to know if she could get a copy someplace, but I don't know where to get a copy of this thing, you know, I just sort of found it one day.
Well, I like it too.
I like things that you can only get once. You can't buy in Macy's or something. Am I allowed to say Macy's? Well, yeah. The hell with it. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was listening to somebody like last Thursday. I don't know any DJs. I just started listening to the station. And I was wondering if you were aware about WBAI. It's like the only other radio station in the state, or I know of. It's like, you know, no commercials or...
Oh, that's not true. There are lots of non-commercial radio stations, including, New York City, for one, has quite a few. WNYC is public radio, for one thing. BAI is perhaps the most free-form radio station I can think of, you know, in the same ballpark as us, perhaps. But there's also a couple in Connecticut that aren't bad. You have to, you know, there are some above 92. There are a few. They're very hard to find. They're crowded in between the, you know, the AOR stations. But below 92, they're all non-commercial. And, you know, most of them sound pretty good. Some of them try to sound like commercial stations, which isn't all that good at all.
Yeah, because once you get one of the, you know, these sort of stations, you don't want to listen to
yet,
so.
Yeah. Is non-commercial radio something new for you?
No, I've been listening to WBAI for a long time. But
uh-huh.
I just started listening to it, you know. WSB.
What kind of programs do you like on BAI?
What's his name? The Jewish guy. He's got a nickname.
I can't get the station,
Bob
sorry.
Bob Faust.
What's that?
Bob Faust.
Yeah? And what does he do?
I don't know, it's freeform. It's just like, you know, what you're doing now. It's, you know, they just take calls and pick up, you know, a subject whenever... You know, whatever the people are talking about.
It's fun. It's great. You know, it's a good way to get in tune with the people who are out there. And there's no barriers or walls or anything. You know, someone can call up here and talk about virtually anything as long as it's not obscene or something.
Yeah. John Fisk, you know, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah. Well, where are you calling from?
Blue Point.
Pardon me?
Blue Point.
Blue Point. I don't think we've ever gotten a call from Blue Point on the air before.
That's a call for a question, sir.
That's great.
All right, sir, that's all I wanted.
Okay, I hope you keep listening.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right.
246-7901 is our phone number. And I'm sort of glad this person brought up the whole thing about radio because, well, I was lucky enough to visit a radio station in New York City not too long ago, a very successful commercial radio station. And friends, radio is in big trouble. I can just tell you that now. Technically, this station is a spaceship. It's amazing what it can do. It puts us to shame, but we have nothing to be ashamed of course. The things, the equipment, the, you know, digital stuff that, it's amazing. You can do anything you want in that studio. But the things that they put over the air and the way that they put it over the air is simply abysmal. It's so tyrannical. It's so close-minded. For one thing, picture a radio station that does not have one single record in it at all. Everything is on these little cartridges. And do you know how many cartridges they have? Only about 400. Now, those don't represent albums. Those represent individual songs. Only 400 songs in their entire library. Now, the people who go on the air are not allowed to say anything except, you heard so-and-so, you heard this person and this person and this person. The temperature is this. We're this radio station, and coming up next is going to be this person singing this song. Now, what kind of radio is that? That's not a radio. That's a jukebox. You know, you can go out and buy records. You can play them on your stereo if you don't like to hear people talking. But radio, the concept of radio, is to get ideas across, to say things, to communicate. Remember communication? That's not just playing songs for people and playing the same songs over and over again. I talked to a DJ there, who was the early morning DJ, and he was, you know, we were talking about freeform radio, because at one point that station used to be more of a freeform type of a station, as most radio stations, I guess, were once. And he was saying, yeah, we had some fun times there. But once we played a record that was 20 minutes long, it was like a jazz piece, it was 20 minutes long, and he was just totally shocked. I mean, that's totally out of control. You play something 20 minutes long, you know, I got a confession to make to you. I went to the bathroom during that record. That's right, I went down the hall and I went to the bathroom. And, you know, at this radio station, we do that kind of thing all the time. We play long things, we go to the bathroom, we go out and have a pizza, we come back, and the record's over, we turn it over, you know. We even remotely controlled something the other day from across town, but that's another story. The point is, what's so bad about playing a 20-minute song if that's interesting, if it's something that, you know, people will like and will cherish and will remember? But this person thought that was out of control. That was radio out of control, because nobody was telling him what to do, what to say, and what music to play all the time. It's really sad. And then I asked him, well, you have all these songs here. How often do you repeat a song? You know, I hate asking questions like that, but I had to. For at this radio station, since we have all these diverse records, we don't even repeat an artist. We try not to. I mean, it does happen, but we try not to repeat an artist, you know, more than once a day or something, or unless we're doing a special on them. Certainly not the same song. I mean, hopefully we don't play the same song more than once, you know, every few days, if it's even that popular a song. Sometimes we play a song once a year or something. It varies. This person said, we play the same song about once every 5 hours. And I sort of, you know, I tried not to act shocked, but it sort of showed in my face, you know, just the horror of it. And he saw that, and he said, yeah, that is a long time, isn't it? He thought I was shocked because they were playing it 5 hours instead of 3 hours. And that's a really sad comment. The point is, there are so many radio stations that sound exactly the same as this one, you could not tell the difference. If they didn't say the call letters, if they didn't say where they were broadcasting from, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And it's reaching the point where you don't even need the people anymore to program this. This person was complaining because he had to take a list that a computer, that an IBM personal computer came up with. This IBM PC is telling people what to play and dictating to listeners what they're going to hear based on some obscure form of record buying and people listening and all that kind of thing. So this IBM PC has told this DJ, who comes in at 5 o'clock in the morning, what little tape cartridges to pull and which ones the people will hear. He doesn't even have a say in which order. He doesn't even have a say which commercials he's going to run. Everything is programmed for him. All he has to do is take the carts out. That's what they call carts. Put them in the machine and press the button at the right time. Now, he was complaining about that. He said, boy, I hate doing this. And I said, well, don't worry. Soon you probably won't have to, because they'll come up with a machine that will do that for you, too. And then the only thing you'll need is a voice every so often to come on and say a couple of things in between songs, a couple of things that don't mean anything, and they certainly won't need a human for that. In fact, many radio stations are already automated. There aren't people actually on the air at any time, except perhaps a newscast, which is a very loosely applied term on stations like that. A newscast, a minute of reading headlines straight from an Associated Press machine is not what I call a newscast. Now, some radio stations actually have a news department. This one really doesn't. They have a bunch of news readers. We have more of a news department than they do, which is, you know, not really saying that much, because, you know, we're a bunch of college student type people who have lives to lead and that kind of thing. So there is very little interest in actually serving the community, and any type of public affairs program is put on grudgingly, sort of a requirement. But the FCC has taken away the requirements. So what does that mean? That means there's not going to be any public affairs programming. There's going to be this repetitious stuff all the time. It's going to be just a permanent jukebox that you always turn on and always know what's going to be on. And maybe in a few months they'll change their format and go to album-oriented rock, or go to light music, or go to heavy metal or something. But whatever they do, it's going to be the same type of impersonal programming and non-individual style, which is really sad because, unfortunately, a large percentage of radio stations have gone that way, and things look pretty bad. So I just hope that that we start waking up. We start waking up and valuing the things that used to be and the things that still are in many places. So that's my little speech on radio for now. I'm glad that person brought that up. It just sort of came to my mind. 246-7901 is our telephone number. 20 minutes after 6. This is the Ministry of Truth. If you have any comments on radio or TV, feel free to give us a call and voice them. Let's see, what have we got to tell you about? Well, we already said it's 20 minutes after 6 o'clock, but we can tell you that, well, I might as well look at one of these articles. Oh, do we have a call? Okay, I'll go to the call first, then we'll look at some of these articles. 246-7901. USB, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm listening to you now, and I wanted to tell you that I think that free-form radio is very, very important. I think you do a terrific service to the this local community here with the quality of programming that you have. I listen to BAI, and you're the only other station like them that I can find at any rate. And
uh-huh.
I love it.
Well,
I love it.
Thanks for telling us that. Certainly, certainly makes us feel better to hear things like that. But, you know, I wasn't trying to just, you know, say we're a great radio station and these other ones are horrible. I'm just sticking up for, you know, what's happening. I mean, in my opinion, radio is being raped repeatedly by not allowing things to be said, not allowing ideas to flow. And it's sad. It's really sad. And there are a few good stations. There's BAI, there's us, there's also PKN in Connecticut. They're fairly good, and you can probably get them.
I think that we're starved for the truth. It's very difficult to find anything that even closely resembles it. The BAI and USB have a very high caliber of programming. I have two little children. I'm holding my little daughter in my arms right now, and I don't get to listen to USB as much as I'd like to. Usually about 9 o'clock when they're asleep, I can finally relax and listen to music. And as you were saying before, there's just a very high caliber of non-repetitious music, which I find very refreshing. There's really nothing quite like it.
Let me ask you something. How do you handle the sometimes dramatic shifts in programming that we have? For instance, suddenly going from a children's program to Chinese music to classical in an hour. Does that bother you, or you know, can you handle it?
No, I welcome that. It has an exotic flair to it. I like that. Once again, it's completely different than the commercial broadcasting, whether it be television or radio. I'm a radio buff.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And
do you listen to shortwave at all?
No.
Well, that's a place you tend to find radio that still is radio, where they you know, they go over a big world of different things, whether it's news or certain types of music or culture, that kind of thing. And, you know, you still find that. And the reason it's still there is because, well, you know, you have all these other countries listening, and they're not really interested in Barry Manilow's newest hit, you know, at least not all the time.
Right. Well, I that's all just about what I wanted to say. I'm waiting for my wife to come down and...
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks for calling and sharing your opinions with us.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye. Well, that's certainly good to hear, and I like to think our radio station, when you listen to it, is kind of like a journey. You're taking a trip. You're turning on the radio and going through these worlds that you wouldn't have gone through if you turned on your record player or your tape machine or something. We are your guides. We're guiding you through places that you just don't visit. Now, sometimes the places are nice. Sometimes it's a living hell. But it's all there. It's all life. You have to see it. You have to experience it. And I've had radio programs where I've played music, and I say, wow, how can anybody play this stuff? It's horrible. And then I usually go on and give my opinion about it. You know, it's, of course, it's not gospel. It might be the finest piece of you know, of work since the Bay City Rollers, but it's still something to listen to, something to comment on. If something is absolutely horrendous, gives you something to talk about, gives you something to think about. Why is it horrendous? If something is horrendous, then that means something else is better, and you start appreciating the other things. And I find it's fun to sort of throw in one of the popular things that all the radio stations are playing in the middle of all these other crazy things. And then it puts on a whole new perspective to it, and it sounds really different. And you appreciate it for some other reason. Plus, we have no commercials. Did I mention that? That's nice, too. But I don't even want to get into that. It's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock. 246-7901 is our telephone number. Area code 516. If you're in Connecticut or Westchester County or New York or whatever, give us a call. 246-7901. This is the Ministry of Truth, and we will be here until 7 o'clock. And what comes on at 7 o'clock, you might ask? Okay, we have Curtain Up with Deirdre Jersey, and that's a Hollywood soundtrack, Broadway type of a program. We play all kinds of show music and film soundtracks, that kind of thing. I don't know what's going to be playing tonight, but we'll find out soon. Deirdre should be arriving very quickly. There was an interesting article in yesterday's New York Times. That would be Wednesday, August 1st. I was in the TV section. And it was about something fairly interesting about a situation going on in South Africa. Now, of course, we all know South Africa is notorious for, I guess, you know, not being exactly equal with everybody. In this case, they've proven it again, except they're not being exactly equal towards white people this time. In fact, South African whites have found themselves on the wrong end of apartheid. That's what they phrase it as. They're excluded from access to a lively television station that's limited to blacks. Yep. As a result, they're seeking ways to receive programming from the station, which is called BOP TV. It's B-O-P TV. It's based in one of the nominally independent homelands that South Africa created. And purpose of that was to keep the races apart. Now, this homeland's got a real winner of a name. It's, forgive me if I don't get it right the first time, it's Bophuthatswana. Let me try that again. I'll get better. Bophuthatswana. Oh, boy. It's an incomplete jigsaw of a place scattered among white-occupied land, theoretically home to people of the Swana ethnic origin. And BOP TV started beaming programs last January. And as it did so, the limits of and potential embarrassments over the kind of independence South Africa grants to its vassal states were highlighted. Now, before the showing of the first programs, some South African senior officials went to that funny-sounding place to seek assurances that the programs wouldn't infringe on the standards of Calvinistic morality that South Africa sets for itself on its generally uninspired television station. Now, BOP TV negotiated an agreement with the South African Broadcasting Corporation whereby South African transmitters would be used to beam BOP TV's programs to Swana-speaking viewers outside the homeland, places like Soweto, which is Johannesburg's black satellite. Then the program started, and according to white viewers, a revelation took place. Steve Roos, an activist campaigning for greater access in South Africa to BOP TV, said, "If you're lucky, you can find one decent program an evening to watch on South African television. But the new channel," he says, "tries to please 90% of the people 90% of the time. You know how they do this? Well, they offer American comedies and series such as Gimme a Break and Falcon Crest." That's right. The network's to the rescue again. Now, overnight in areas where the BOP TV signal spilled out beyond its black target areas, white viewers like Mr. Roos began erecting forests of broadband antennas, or antennae, actually, to improve their reception of the new station, settling in comfortably each evening to watch news programs that were not as self-censored as those in South African television and entertainment programs they had never seen before. But the South Africans struck back, gradually refining the BOP TV signal until it reached only its target areas among blacks and did not spill over into white areas. And people like Mr. Roos were out a lot of money because they had to buy these antennas, but now they can't get the signal properly anymore. And they say this is segregation the other way around. Now, There is a drive going on. Mr. Roos and 8 friends started gathering signatures for a petition to Parliament demanding access to BOP TV. They took up positions at a shopping area in Johannesburg's white suburb of Randburg. And in the space of a few hours, he said, they collected more than 3,800 signatures, mainly from irate whites who want their BOP TV soap operas and news bulletins. Now, this drive is supported by the opposition Progressive Federal Party, whose media spokesman, David Dowling, also went to the Randburg shopping mall to offer support and sign the petition. And it's a big mess down there. It's a big mess. Very interesting. The race war continues over American TV programs. So that's what's happening down in South Africa. The black TV station is in more demand than the white TV station, and everyone's in chaos. We don't have that kind of problem here. It's all pretty much the same on TV, except for maybe public television. And no one's really petitioning to see certain programs.
From the great composers, and tune in for the latest news of live concerts in our area on Classical Concert Billboard weekdays at 12:30 p.m. Two more reasons to make WUSB your non-commercial alternative.
Thank you very much. And yes, that is true. We have so much classical music on this radio station, so much really good stuff, good classical music, and good other things, too. It's 6:31 now. Again, before I delve into this Olympic thing, our telephone number is 246-7901. Give us your thoughts on the Olympics. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. And are they the real Olympics? Are they a substitute for the Olympics? What are they? You know, what's it coming to? Now, the Soviet boycott, of course, has kind of fouled things up a little bit. There's an article in this week's TV Guide, of all things, that's very interesting, a very interesting article, and I'm going to read parts of that, and we'll talk about it. Now, we have a couple of calls already that have been waiting, so I'm going to get to those first, and then I'll come back to this article, and we'll talk about the Olympics and see just what it means, if it's if they're destroyed, what the future is. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, funny, strange. Every year something else happens. I mean, last time the Soviet Union, it was in the Soviet Union. We didn't see any of it because we weren't there. And this year it's over here and they're not seeing any of it because they're not over here. And next time it's going to be in South Korea and I don't think anybody's going to go. But we'll find out. USB, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention the fact that, as everyone already knows, the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc as a whole is not participating, and pretty much it's obvious that these Olympics are not the whole thing, or the right stuff, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And it's generating a lot of interest nonetheless, because the United States is doing so well and winning gold medals in areas where they've hardly even competed in the past.
Uh-huh.
And it's really a shame that the Russians and the rest of the Eastern Bloc is not there in that case, because they would have provided maybe a little bit more spice to it. Right now it's a little bit ridiculous. You know, you see the United States with 25 gold medals and the next competitor has 6.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't mean to knock the Olympics at all, but you know, I've passed by a few times on TV just to see what's going on. And just about every time I've passed by, they're in the middle of the U.S. national anthem or something, or they're, you know, someone else has won a gold medal. Now, you know, that's great. I'm happy for these people, but it just seems it's gotten a little lopsided, not through, you know, through the fault of our athletes or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it's worked out, and it's kind of, you know, kind of a farce, but it's certainly, you know, worthy to the people competing.
But I'd like to comment on one other thing that isn't so much talked about, though it is to some extent, and that is, even though it's lopsided, what makes it even worse is the TV coverage. It focuses only on those events where Americans are really doing something.
Is that true? I have not been watching that much, but they're focusing only on the American-dominated events?
Just about, yeah. I mean, every now and then you'll see 2 seconds of a field hockey game.
Uh-huh.
Where they spice it up with some comments about riots in India.
Have they ignored anything completely?
Pardon?
Have they ignored a particular sport completely and not given any coverage?
Yes, oddly enough, soccer is just about completely ignored.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Even though the United States is participating and even doing fairly well.
It's the single most popular sport in the world, I believe, and they're not giving any coverage to it, huh?
Hardly any coverage to it. Or take basketball.
Yeah.
See these lopsided, boring games that the United States plays, but you don't see perhaps the interesting games, you know, where the competition's a little bit more even. France against Uruguay.
Uh-huh. Now, I imagine you'd be blaming the networks most of all for that.
Well, except that they cater to this, you know, American audience taste, you know, and this false sense of patriotism that this topic seems to generate.
Do they cater to the taste, or do the American people cater to the whims of the networks? You know, who comes first?
I don't know. You probably know better than I do.
I don't know about that. I don't think any of us know better than anybody else. It's just something that we seem to have less and less control over as the weeks go by, you know. We're told what we're supposed to like, and either we like it or we don't, and if we don't, we just spend the rest of our lives in misery and don't watch anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something. Do you think there's a future for the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. The next Olympics will probably be a great Olympics because the Russians and the Eastern Bloc will be back.
Yeah, but will we be? Well, I don't know. Do you think we'll both be back in South Korea, of all places? That's going to be pretty crazy place. I mean, it always has been.
Yeah, not a good venue for the Ruskies.
No,
sure.
I mean, you know, I expect them to hold them in Israel next time. That's going to be... Why not just pick the most controversial areas in the world, you know, and just sort of test the faith of all these nations? El Salvador after that, I guess. Okay, well, thanks for calling us.
Yeah.
Take care. 246-7901 is our telephone number. Tell us what you think of the Olympics and... what the future of the Olympics, if there is a future for the Olympics, and what you've seen so far, and what it's all meaning, and that kind of thing. And I'll get to this article here in this week's TV Guide. In fact, let me start it a little bit now. We'll get to some more phone calls in a few minutes. The Olympics are finished, this guy, Robert Lipsight, says. The Olympics are finished, no tears here. It's been 88 years of chauvinism, sexism, racism, and elitism, hypocritically disguised as peace in a sweatsuit. Excuse me. From the very start of the modern games, there were vicious nationalistic squabbles. Once the Soviet Union joined the competition, gold medals were counted as Cold War spoils. After network television became a partner in the games, the Olympics became a global stage for metaphorical and sometimes real murders. This is no thank you note to the Soviets for withdrawing or to President Jimmy Carter for setting the precedent 4 years ago, but now, for the first time since the Nazi Olympics, there's a chance to build something of value on the unquestionably noble foundations of international sport. The games must go on. It's the games, capital G, that we can do without. The first benefit of the 1984 Almost Olympics will be a diffusing of the them-versus-us coverage by the world media, while journalists and sportscasters exacerbate the chauvinism of the games. They certainly don't invent it, or didn't invent it. National pride and self-interest were built into the games from the very beginning. The French baron who produced the first modern games in 1896 was motivated by the drubbing his side took in the Franco-Prussian War. Remember that? Pierre de Coubertin decided that the best way to get French youth into shape for a rematch of the war, that is, would be through athletic competition, and originally he planned to exclude Germans and women. Robert Lipsight, my own most vivid Olympic memory is of a routine press conference before the Montreal Games in 1976. Rune Arledge, then only the president of sports at ABC, I wonder what he is now, he was asked why the ceremonial parade of athletes couldn't be broadcast without commercial interruption. It wouldn't be feasible, replied Arledge amiably. After all, sponsors pay for telecasts. But the journalist persisted. Many countries, he said, might never have a chance to be seen except in that parade, like Cameroon and Burma and all that kind of thing. True, agreed Arledge. Well, then, asked the journalist, how do you pick candidates for obscurity? Well, we have to make judgments, explained Arledge. Suppose we've just had two little South American countries, and it's time for a commercial, and here comes a third little South American country. So, sorry about that, Chile. Sorry about that, Chile? That casual line has haunted me ever since. What could Arledge, surely one of the brightest and most powerful men in all of sport, have been thinking of? And did he consider the Olympics just another ABC miniseries? Whose Olympics was it, anyway? He had been in Munich in 1972 when assassins played their own deadly game to gain world attention through the Olympics, and he had been in Mexico City in 1968 when Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised their black glove fists during their medal ceremony. The International Olympic Committee felt so threatened by that relatively mild gesture that it put pressure on United States officials to throw Smith and Carlos off the team and out of the country. And had the Olympics been a mere sporting event, such an individualistic signal would not have set off such a reaction. But the Olympics clearly are no mere sporting event. Actually, they never were. And they've been sliding downhill since 776 B.C., when Pelops, I believe that's how you pronounce that guy's name, Pelops, when he loosened the wheels of a rival's chariot. And in the ensuing traffic accident, Pelops won the race, the kingdom, and what else? He won a guilty conscience, of course. So he commemorated the race with an athletic spectacle dedicated to the gods and goddesses who presumably had allowed the fixed race to happen. And by the time the ancient Olympics were canceled many centuries later, they had set records for sexism. Women could be executed merely for watching. Hear that out there? Just for watching. Nationalism, such as the fact that Spartans couldn't box because Spartans never conceded defeat. And professionalism, a lifetime of free meals and no taxes for the winners. By the way, if anyone can call up and tell us why the Olympics were canceled way back then, tell us. I'm dying to know, because maybe it was the same reason or maybe it was a different reason. 2467901. After World War II, the Olympics mirrored, without ever alleviating, much less solving, each new international crisis. There were Olympic crises between Arabs and Israel, between Hungary and the Soviet Union, between Taiwanese and mainland Chinese. And yet, through it all, there was something there that raised our spirits. There was a glimpse through that brief opening of the iron door between nations of a future with hope. It was television that gave us those glimpses, suddenly, powerfully, to millions of us at once. Quick snapshots of men and women of every color and creed and language joined in a glorious sharing. Their competition was only a prelude, indeed an excuse for their friendship. But it was television that also kept that door from ever truly opening. Now the Olympics were too important, too expensive, too critical to the political and commercial strategies of nations and multinational corporations to allow such indulgences as fair play and friendship. The 76 Olympics were marred by the boycott of several dozen black African nations and crippling expenses. Sorry about that, Montreal. But they turned out to be the last big-time Olympics. After the American withdrawal in 1980, it was obvious that without the East-West confrontation of the bear and the eagle, the Games were just another regional sports tournament, which is sort of what they should be. Weep not for the end of the modern Olympic era. Free of this cumbersome, expensive, divisive spectacle, people might start moving seriously toward a true festival of youth and beauty and grace and strength. This is not a new idea. For years now, people concerned with the commercial and political hypocrisy of the Games have suggested that a six-month festival of creative and performing arts, as well as of sports, should be held every 4 years at a permanent site, perhaps in Greece. Nothing really horrible is happening over there now. Athletes would come as individuals wearing their own names on their clothes. There would be no distinction between professionals and amateurs, and very few Olympic sports would this matter. And there would be no team events. There would be medals for participation and for breaking Olympic records. There would be no reward for merely beating someone else. Idealistic, of course. Commercially feasible? Go ask our friend Rune. If the Olympics exist only as another profit center, then they're just rock and roll to me. And if their existence creates just another world crisis zone, let the games go away. But, if we can create a true worldwide celebration of our best hopes, then bring on the games. The games in small letters, I might add, not the capital G. I think that's a great article. That's the best article I've read in TV Guide in a heck of a long time. It's in this week's, if you want to have a copy of your own, by Robert Lipsight. He's a sports correspondent. You can even see him. You can see his face, what he looks like, and how he talks and all that. Every Sunday morning on CBS News Sunday Morning. Robert Lipsight. Hats off to Robert Lipsight. So give us a call, 246-7901. Tell us your feelings on the Olympics, on that article I just read, and the future, and what you've seen these last few days. The opening ceremonies were supposedly watched by 2 billion people. Now, it wasn't too long ago that there weren't 2 billion people in the entire world, so that's quite a sight, quite an accomplishment. 2 billion people. I also saw something on the some newscast someplace very recently about the Olympic name being tarnished by all these people all across the country who are selling Olympic donuts and Olympic cars and Olympic whatever. But it seems that the Olympic Committee is going just a little bit too far. They're going after kids who are using the name for something, you know, something symbolic, or people who have had the name longer than, you know, than 20 years or something, and ordering them to change it. There was one person who has a bus company called Olympic Trails, and he had to change his company name to Olympia Trails because they didn't want to see people confuse the bus company with the Olympics or something crazy like that. And it just seemed very, very absurd that they would worry that much about the that word. I mean, do they have a claim on the word Olympic? I mean, can we come up with a radio program and call it the Olympic Hour? According to this, we can't. According to this, that word is forbidden. Just about any word we can use. It seems kind of insulting that they bought the rights to this word. So that's something that sort of bothered me. So give us a call. We have about, less than 10 minutes left. So if you're thinking about calling us and you're not quite sure, go for it before it's too late. 6:47 in the p.m. right now, and this is the Ministry of Truth. I'm Eric Corley. I'll be here until 7, and Deirdre Jersey is in with Curtain Up. 516-246-7901. Checking out the weather, currently 27 outside. That converts to 63 on the good old Fahrenheit scale. It's going to stay predominantly hazy, even warm and humid throughout the night. Chance of a passing thunderstorm during the evening hours. Overnight low will be 65 to 70, and there's a 30% probability of rain. Now, tomorrow through Saturday, hazy, hot, and humid, but with the chance of a passing thunderstorm late on each of those afternoons or in the early evening. High temperatures 85 to 90, and the overnight low in the low 70s. I know what it must be. Everyone must be watching the Olympics. Is that right? Everyone's watching the Olympics. No one's listening to this radio program, so no one's calling up. I mean, I've seen it happen before. I've seen people glued to TV sets, and they can't get away from them. You know, it happens every time they repeat Shogun. You know, nobody listens to us. No one calls us. We just have to sort of sit here and babble to ourselves and, you know, pretend there's a big world out there. It's okay. We don't mind. You know, we're happy people. We can deal with this kind of thing. We can deal with rejection and people throwing pies in our faces and that kind of thing. It's just, you know, all a part of life. It doesn't really matter anyway. 100 years from now, who's going to know the difference? So, you know, there's no real need to call 246-7901 and make us spectacularly happy. I mean, there's a whole crowd of people in the other room just sort of looking downcast because that phone isn't ringing. And it would be sort of nice to see them all jump up and be happy, but I guess that's not going to happen, is it? Nope. No one out there is going to make the effort to dial a telephone and make all these people have something to live for. tells something about the human race, doesn't it? Says something about Long Island. Says something about America. Well, sad to have to say that. Yep, 246-7901, area code 516. What else can I read around here? I like reading things. Oh, my God, what happened when you blew a fuse on the phone and all the lines started ringing at once? Oh, boy, they're hysterical in there. Well, I didn't really mean any of that. USB, you're on the air.
Yes. What do you think about the professional aspect versus amateur aspect of the Olympics? That's sort of another farce that maybe needs to be explored.
Well, now, they don't allow any professionals. Now, how do they define a professional? Someone who's ever made a penny at what he does, is that right?
They have no definition for a professional. Right now, they're really in limbo because they, as ABC had a little show on this just this afternoon, they've got professionals in various categories of the events with all sorts of different rules. For example, in soccer, somehow the Americans can field seven professionals.
Oh, so they do allow professionals.
Yeah, and in tennis you've got Jimmy Arias and Andrea Jaeger, who are both professionals playing tennis in the demonstration event this year. It's just a demonstration sport, but still.
Oh, it's a demonstration. Well, then
I made the rule that a professional was somebody over 20 years of age, but anybody under wasn't a professional.
I don't understand that at all. It sounds like it's totally confused. Well,
totally.
In that article I just read, they proposed having no distinction and it wouldn't affect anything. Now, do you think it wouldn't affect anything?
Well, it would. I mean, take, for example, basketball would just be absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, okay, that's true. That's one sport I can think of. But how about gymnastics or something?
Yeah, there probably wouldn't matter. In soccer, it would be a matter of making certain teams ridiculously strong.
Uh-huh.
Like the West Germans or the Italians would be three times as good as they are right now.
Yeah.
If they fielded their professionals.
Now, there's something with the Winter Olympics and the Soviets. Well, I've heard this before, that the Soviet team is equivalent to one of our professional teams, but we're not allowed to send in our professional teams, and so we send in all these kids instead, and they get killed each time, except they won for some reason.
Yeah, that's quite quite unfair. That's true. You just have to accept every Soviet athlete basically as a professional. So,
but now they don't get paid for playing their sports. So in that term, they're not professionals, but they're something else. They're good. You know, I mean, I don't know how you distinguish that.
In a sense, they do get paid for playing their sports because they're supported by the state. They've become the national team, and they get perks. And
they get what?
Room and board, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
The state takes care of them. So in that sense, they are professionals.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have any real sports in our... in our army or anything like that, I guess, you know. Well, we have football.
Reagan has enough trouble balancing the budget without also having to support the national teams.
Did you see him on the news today? He was answering a question, and Nancy had to tell him what to say. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. They asked him how the Star Wars negotiations were going, and he just sort of looked really, really puzzled. You know, he just was totally baffled. He didn't know what to say. And Nancy looked down. She was standing next to him. She looked down at her shoe and just muttered, "Doing everything we can." And then he looked up and said, "We're doing everything we can." I couldn't believe it. It was straight out of, you know, Second City Television or something. It was real life, though. It was so funny. But I just remembered that.
Edwin Moses wished he had had Nancy Reagan standing next to him when he...
Yeah.
For a brief moment, forgot those lines at the opening, those boring opening ceremonies.
Were they? I didn't see them, but what was boring about them? Just too much ceremony?
Yeah, plus it was just all Hollywood all over the place.
Really?
Replete with Rocket Man coming in, flying into the stadium.
Now, somebody forgot their lines?
Yeah, Edwin Moses, he was supposed to deliver some memorable or... not so memorable lines regarding the spirit of the games or whatever, and he put a lot of pressure on him, of course.
Yeah.
You know, he's no dummy. He just, like anybody can at the moment, lose track or feel too much pressure and then forget the next line.
So
the remarkable thing is that he actually, after about three times repeating the line that he could remember, the last line, it came back to him.
Uh-huh.
So everybody really felt relieved.
What was it like, though? He just kept stumbling over the same line, and did he say anything referring to it that, you know, he couldn't remember what he was supposed to say?
No, I guess he would have had to do that if it hadn't just suddenly come back to him.
That's, you know, I mean, I'm not putting anybody down.
It was
down.
The highlight of the opening ceremony, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's being...
It had a happy ending.
That's being human, and it's good to see that touch every now and then. I like seeing people mess up sometimes because it's the only assurance you have that there are still humans running things, and it's not just perfection all around, you know. So, hats off to him for that.
But what do you think of the idea of professionals in the Olympics?
I
think you might as well open it up to all the professionals. The Soviets are professionals anyway already.
The professionals have their, you know, their leagues and everything for the professional type sports. I would say for the sports that, you know, that really makes a difference, they should choose, you know, either play in the National Hockey League or play in the Olympics, but don't play in both, you know. Maybe have a, if somebody plays in the Olympics and they can't play in the NHL for a year and vice versa, I think that's the only fair way to do it because, you know, something like volleyball doesn't matter at all if you got paid, you know, to play a game or something. You're just as good as anybody else probably. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a wishy-washy answer, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I think you might as well open it up to the professionals because in some sports, the professionals are taking place anyway in the form of certain nationally supported teams.
Uh-huh.
And in other sports, the professionals are as good as the amateurs, or there's no difference between the amateurs.
True. Okay, well, thanks for calling us. Take care. 246-7901 is our number. We may have time for one more call. We should have time for one more call. It's 6:56. Almost time for Deirdre Jersey, and, well, let's start wrapping things up here. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric. It's Deirdre.
Hi, Deirdre.
I want to talk with you, but I'm in a hostile environment right now, so could you please open the door, and then I'll come talk to you?
Sure.
Yeah.
By the time you get here, I probably won't be on the air anymore. Hostile environment?
Listen, I'll be 30 seconds, and I do want to talk about the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been listening to you in the radio.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can talk during your show.
That's a good idea, too. I'll meet you at the door.
Okay, at about 7 o'clock, I guess.
Okay.
I've got one more call here.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Hope she doesn't get hurt or anything. Hostile environment. I got to find out what that's all about. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just listening to this banal Olympic discussion here, and I'd like to just say that there isn't very much of a distinction between professional athletes coming from the Eastern European bloc nations and what we have in America, which we have athletes going to meets and getting paid through some sort of fund, and then getting kickbacks through that. So the fine line between professionalism and amateurism has been obliterated by the Olympic Committee.
So what should be done?
Nothing. It's just that why discuss the difference between amateurism and professionalism when there's no longer a difference in the Olympics?
Well, now aren't certain people being barred from participating because they're quote-unquote professional, and other people are still amateurs, but they're twice as good as the professionals, and it's all kind of crazy, I think.
Well, I think that it's a moot discussion, and that with the new rulings about athletes being able to get fees for performing in certain meets and then getting the kickbacks to pursue their training, that this cuts the line between professional and amateurism, and the reason why certain athletes get barred from it is because they're not big drawers like
Nadia Comaneci and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like those sort of people.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that.
There are people not watching these commercialized Olympics and listening to USB, and I still think that USB, being non-commercial as it is, I listen to it, I would say, 99% of the time.
Oh, my goodness.
And then some of the highly commercial radio stations here on Long Island. And I like the program, programming done at USB, and I just, there are people listening.
Great. It's good to hear that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. It's great to hear that. 99% of the time. Wow. I wonder what the 1% is he doesn't listen to. Huh. I bet it's Steve Kreitzer's show. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's all we have time for here. 6:59, I've got to go let Deirdre in and tear the mob away from her, whatever's going on. We'll be back again next week, Thursday night at 6 o'clock for the Ministry of Truth. I am Eric Corley. It's been really fun. And let's give a fist in the air for our Olympic athletes out there in L.A. and hope the whole thing works out okay. See you next week.
The Ministry of Truth.